continuing with Alice Miller's For Your Own Good, quote, the father receives his powers from God in the ideologies that she's exposing, and from his own father. The teacher finds the soil already prepared for obedience, and the political leader has only to harvest what has been sown. And I comment, it's time to recondition the soil globally. And now she quotes from a poisoned pedagogue, with the most forceful form of punishment, corporal chastisement, we come to the ultimate in punishment. Just as the rod serves as the symbol of parental discipline in the home, the stick is the primary emblem of school discipline. There was a time when the stick was the cure-all for any mischief in school, as the rod was in the home. It is an age-old, indirect way of speaking from the soul, common to all nations, and I dispute that. What can be more obvious than the rule, quote, he who won't hear must be made to feel, unquote. Pedagogical blows provide a forceful accompaniment to words and intensify their effect. The most direct and natural way of administering them is by that box on the ears, preceded by a strong pulling on the ear, which we still remember from our own youth, I bet he does. This is an unmistakable reminder of the existence of an organ of hearing and of its intended uses. It obviously has symbolic significance, as does a slap on the mouth, which is a reminder that there is an organ of speech and a warning to put it to better use. The tried and true blow to the head and hair pulling still convey a certain symbolism, too. This guy's so sick. What do you think he's thinking of, you know? Possession, you are mine. I can do with you what I will. Continuing, even truly Christian pedagogy, which takes a person as he is, not as he should be, cannot in principle renounce every form of corporal chastisement. For it is exactly the proper punishment for certain kinds of delinquency. It humiliates and upsets the child, affirms the necessity of bowing to a higher order, and at the same time reveals parental love in all its vigor. And my comment, parental love in all its vigor, what ironic words, given this is a love stripped of its exuberance. Continuing, we would be in complete sympathy, says our poisoned pedagogue, if a conscientious teacher declared, I would rather not be a teacher at all than to have to relinquish my prerogative of reaching for the ultima ratio of the stick when necessary. The father strikes his child and himself feels the smart. Severity is a merit if you have a gentle heart, writes the poet Rückert. If the teacher is a true representative of the father, then he also knows how to display, with the stick when necessary, a love that is often purer and deeper than that of many a natural father. And although we call the child's heart a sinful one, we believe we may still say the childish heart, as a rule, understands this love, even if not always at the moment. Unquote. And Alice comments, as an adult, this child will often allow himself to be manipulated by various forms of propaganda, since he's already used to having his inclinations manipulated and has never known anything else. And my comment, again, thought atrophies or cannot take flight under authoritarian oversight. Continuing with the poisoned pedagogue, first and foremost, the educator must take care that these inclinations, hostile and adverse to the higher will, instead of being awakened and nourished by early education, as so commonly occurs, be prevented by every possible means from developing, or at least be eradicated as soon as possible. Whereas the child should be as little acquainted as possible with those inclinations unfavorable to his higher development, he should, on the other hand, be zealously and frequently introduced to all the rest, or at least to their first buddings. Therefore, let the educator instill in the child at an early age abundant and enduring inclinations of the better sort. Let him rouse him often and in diverse ways to merriment, joyfulness, delight, hope, etc. But occasionally, although less frequently and more briefly, let him also encourage fear, sadness, and the like. He will have opportunity enough for this by virtue. He will have opportunity enough for this by virtue of the fact that in the normal course of events, some of the child's manifold needs, not only of the body, but also and primarily of the soul, are satisfied, others are not, and that there are various combinations of both conditions. He must arrange everything so that it be nature's doing and not his own, or at least so that this appears to be the case. The unpleasant occurrences in particular must not betray their origin if he is the one responsible for them, and that is from K. Vailher, Toward a Theory of the Art of Education, from 1805. And Alice comments, the person actually benefiting from this manipulation must not be detected. And this set me off on a train of thought, because we are next week going to be talking about hidden power and the degree to which it has, the fact that we cannot see their actions and the fact that we are systematically kept from discussing the result is the intention, that there is a conscious intention behind the world we see that has been keeping us from believing what our bodies say, is that this is wrong. It's wrong. It's all wrong. It's wrong for the tiny few to monopolize decision making. It's wrong for us to be told we have to market ourselves. It's all wrong. And so it is key that enough of us understand this tactic. And I'm very grateful to Alice for exposing its roots in the education system from the 19th century on. The importance of not letting the subject know what you are doing. The importance of staying hidden. And this theory, applied politically, globally, and nationally, provides the provides the ideological expression of hidden power. And we're going to be talking about discussing a lengthy illustration. In what follows, let's consider the possibility that this hidden power described by Vailher is not just the pattern, but the basis of all such that grow out of it under class. We will be looking at events in France after the Revolution of 1789, the event that initiated that wave that Gramsci talked about of bourgeois, and that by that I'm going to encourage us to think of those classically trained intellectuals done with aristocratic pretensions who want to finally realize the dream of their paterfamilias, Plato, who didn't think in his day that he could overcome the problem that there would be folk coming in with new ideas who would forever reinfect the population. Well, they have figured this out, and we've talked about this in terms of all the various pieces that were needed in order for power to see that they had a solution to that problem of Plato. The global economic system being for them key. There cannot be an escape from the roach hotel called class.